How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan. After one slight, you know, he threw me a curveball right as I was getting ready to record.
Wait a second. Are we recording yet?
Yeah. Nope. We're definitely going. We are up and running. As always, you can find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Use those promo codes across all of those who are kind enough to sponsor us. Today's show is going to be a little bit shorter because, frankly, there is almost nothing to talk about. So
nice plug, solid plug.
Yeah,
everybody that stuck with us after that, you're a real one.
Yeah, you're the real MVPs. Actually, that's kind of
a nice segue.
Yeah. Speaking of the guy who said that, today's show is going to be about Lonzo Ball learning from people. Lonzo learning.
Learning with Lonzo.
That's after Ball and the Family. That's going to be their next series of shows.
I don't know about you, but I've not seen the new episode of Ball and the Family as of the time of this recording because I was in the newsroom all day. But that's like Game of Thrones for me now. I could not be more excited for the next episode.
I have yet to seen it.
It is. It's honestly like just imagine if like one of like if Kobe at like age like 17. Had made a reality show based on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And like that's the kind of vibe that you get from it. But anyway, we should probably get into like what we actually want to talk about, I guess. Like a Ball in the Family is amazing, but if you're we'll get you into it. Like I'm going to get like you're going to become hooked on this like I am.
All right, that's going to be your goal by the end of this week is to
That's my Mamba challenge. That's what Kobe he said you're going to get Anthony Harris yeah. At HM Fagan, I challenge you to get Anthony into Ball in the Family.
Yeah, that's your challenge by the end of the week. You have to convince me to watch an episode. All right. Today's show, though, like I said, Lonzo Ball reportedly took some lessons from Steve Nash and Kevin Durant. And we are going to talk about, A, what we think he learned from those guys. B, who we think would be great, you know, and if we were to have the entire history of the NBA at our disposal, who would be great for Lonzo Ball to learn from. And then finally, when we're done talking about that, Harrison is going to tell us about that time he rescued the entire Lakers organization from Lil B.
Yes.
I'm going to find out what Lil B is.
I don't want to say that I'm a hero, but I'm just saying I saved the entire Lakers future from the curse of a renegade Z-list internet celebrity.
Z's being kind. Like I feel like you have to get into letters like plus numbers. Yeah, so it'd be,
subheads.
You know, yeah.
That's fair.
Like
that's fair.
H-17, you know?
Yeah. So Lonzo. But after Lil B, after I bravely and heroically told Lil B to get lost and not curse Lonzo and got him away from there, Lonzo, I guess, like he did an interview on Marcellus and Kelvin on ESPN Radio where he talked about how he worked out with Kevin Durant. He worked out with Steve Nash last week. And there were rumors about that on Twitter, but they had not really been confirmed until Lonzo came out and said it. And like, that's kind of awesome, I think, like especially the Nash part. And I know that Lakers fans have charitably mixed feelings on Nash, but So it's inarguable that he is one of the greatest players that Lonzo could go and learn from. Like, he's one of the best point guards in NBA history. And sure, as far as getting the most out of very, very limited, quick twitch, kind of jumpy, bouncy athleticism, which is – Lonzo is not, like, an incredible athlete. He's obviously much bigger than Nash, and he's a better athlete than Nash. But as far as the passing, as far as the vision, as far as learning how to run a pick and roll, like, that is, to me – like, it's not my money, so it's easy for me to say this, but if I were the Lakers, I would give Nash like $30 million to come this year and just be like, just like live with Lonzo.
He could be in Ball in the Family.
Yeah.
Steve Nash.
Nash in the Family.
All right, so one, I'm going to.
And I know you hate Steve Nash, so
any
I'm
and
sorry.
Every opportunity to crap on Steve Nash, because that's what I do. That's how I do it. But. Yes, I will begrudgingly say that Lonzo Ball could definitely learn a bunch from Steve Nash, just in terms of reading defenses, you know, the way Steve Nash thought about the game, I thought was really almost unique. He was just the way he utilized angles and created angles
it's
for
like
himself.
Lonzo. Like they just see angles that naturally that other guys don't, and there's no way to learn that on tape.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, from that standpoint, I would agree 100% that Lonzo could definitely learn a ton from Steve Nash. If he can also learn how to convince the media to give him awards over people who are definitely more deserving, then Lonzo, it's a win-win. I think that would be the hope here, that Lonzo Ball could develop an ability to get the media to give him multiple MVP awards, while guys like Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant and, you know, LeBron,
okay,
and basically
Captain
all
Salt.
Kinds of all
right,
all better right, and more
but
deserving
to be
people
honest,
are playing.
He's kind of on his way there. I mean, the media loves Lonzo Ball. Like, everything Lonzo Ball gets covered. Fans love Lonzo Ball. Everybody loves Lonzo Ball. Like, he's on his way to being the next Nash perception-wise. And I just think, like, for his specific weaknesses, like, we already know he's a really, really amazing passer, but he's not the most natural pick-and-roll player. And, like, you know, I hear Krandis McBasketball on Twitter talking about, like, that some of those numbers are taken out of context and he's actually, like, okay at pick-and-rolls, and that's fine. But, like, it's inarguable that it's not his best play. It's not his strength right now. And Nash might be the greatest pick-and-roll point guard in NBA history. And so if Lonzo can learn a little bit about taking those types of angles, making those types of pocket passes, making those reads from Nash, then that would be amazing. And Nash is a Warriors assistant coach, so that's not going to be happening the whole season. But I do think that it's pretty awesome that he got to work out with him.
Yeah, and you know,
and pick his brain maybe a little bit.
Yeah,
like that's
just
cool.
In general, if you can talk to people who are really good at the thing you're trying to become really good at, that's just a good idea.
That's why I talked to you on this podcast.
Aw. We're gonna leave now. I'm tearing up a little bit. I gotta go. But the other guy who he learned from here is Kevin Durant, and we are going to talk about that on the other side of the break. All right, so Kevin Durant is probably, like, for my money, the best pure scorer in the history of basketball. Like, he was put on.
Well, you're actually, unfortunately, after I said that nice thing about you, you're now fired because Kobe better. But Kevin Durant is like a pretty good. He's like a pretty good second, like right behind Kobe. How many times has Kevin Durant scored 81 in a game, Anthony?
You got me there.
How many times did Kobe make some Players Tribune Photoshop to go join like a super team? He didn't. Kobe brought the super team to him. He said, hey, if you don't trade for better players and like spend money, I'm going to go play on Pluto. Like, I will literally buy a rocket and launch myself to Pluto. I think that's a direct quote, but don't quote me on that.
We
anyway,
can admit that was no. We can admit that was the most Kobe way to demand a trade. That that was just phenomenal. Who brings
that
up
was
Pluto?
The start of Kobe becoming like a little bit of buying into his own myth.
Because yeah. Before he was Michael Jordan. He was trying to be Michael Jordan. He was Jordan Light, and then all of a sudden he. Who mentions Pluto?
That was the start of like the Zen Sensei philosophical Kobe.
Right. He woke up one day. He was like, "All right, I'm gonna create this character, and I'm gonna do so by starting with demanding a trade to the planet Pluto, which was a planet still back then. I'm not sure it is now. We keep on debating whether or not that's actually still a thing."
Yeah, honestly, it's impossible to know, but I will fight you to the death that Pluto is a planet. But actually, we could do that on a different podcast. That'll be when we truly run out of content.
You don't have to fight me to the death. I believe that Pluto is a planet.
Okay, well, good. So. Anybody who doesn't is just wrong. I don't care. Suck it, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Dude, he can go away. I'm so sick of him. Anywho.
Okay, anyway, we should probably get back to the Durant thing a little. We went off target a little bit here.
The Nash thing was pretty easy, right? It was pretty easy to figure out what he would hopefully learn from Nash, handling the pick and roll, being a point guard, creating those angles the way Steve Nash did. But Kevin Durant's a little bit tougher to try to figure out what he would actually learn from somebody like that. Their games are really different.
Their games are really different, but if Lonzo could learn to become one of the best pure scorers in the NBA just by one workout with Kevin Durant, that would obviously ratchet up his ceiling to an incredible – no, I'm not being serious. But there are things to learn from Durant as far as the professionalism goes, as far as improving literally every single year that he's been in the NBA that he hasn't had a catastrophic injury. Kevin Durant has gotten better. He's become a better player every single year. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is something that he can teach Lonzo about that. Durant last year learned how to play off the ball more and how that could make him more efficient. And while Lonzo is never going to get accused of not sharing the ball, I mean, maybe he can learn a little bit from something about Durant about cutting and about, like, you know, how to make himself a good target, because Lonzo is a big point guard. He can be utilized that way on the break if he's not the one handling the ball. And so I think there are things to learn that I would say more in the professionalism and in the work habits respect, because obviously Kevin Durant is a guy that works incredibly hard. If he's not one of these guys that just, like, posts Instagram videos just to make it look like he was working out. Like, Kevin Durant, to get as good as he's gotten and to continue to improve at the rate that he's improved, and, like, going from, like, the best pure scorer in the NBA currently to, like, one of the best in history, then, like, he obviously has some great habits, and I think that's something that he could pass along to Lonzo as much as anything. As well as just, like, you know, talking to Lonzo in the gym and letting him kind of recruit him to the Lakers eventually.
So I agree with everything that you said. And when I heard KD come up, the first thing that I jumped to is KD, because of his height, could teach Lonzo how to utilize the height advantage over other smaller guards, right?
So yeah, playing against other point guards, like, he could learn from Durant how to shoot over those guys. Uh-huh. That's something. And Lonzo does have to improve as a scorer.
And the other thing, too, if you actually break down Lonzo's shot and you break down Kevin Durant's shot, so Lonzo's shot is a exaggerated version of Kevin Durant's shot. It goes on the opposite side of his body. He shoots from his opposite eye and, you know, winds up bringing the ball back to the middle of his body. But still, it takes an interesting route on the way there. Durant does the same thing, just to a much, much, much lesser extent.
Just while shooting 9,000% from the field.
Yes. And so, well, what I was going to say is that, you know, if Durant – it'd be interesting to get Durant's take on Lonzo Ball's shot, because I'm sure nobody ever came to Durant and said, hey, we need to change the way you shoot, because his shot is pretty phenomenal. But I would be interested to see what he would say to Lonzo if Lonzo said, hey – I'm being told by a lot of people that I might need to, you know, change up a couple things. We already started to see, if you watch Lonzo Ball shoot a free throw, it's not his normal, really exaggerated shot the way he shoots, you know, from three. So it would be interesting to see if Durant said, you should try to keep it consistent, you should develop a new shot, a new shooting form, or you should stick with what got you here. If you're, again, picking somebody's brain who is as great as Durant is at scoring, that would be probably the first question I would ask if I was Lonzo to Durant.
Yeah, and I think eventually maybe Durant could teach him the Hezzy pull-up Jimbo.
I still want to – we gotta do a video where –
you probably don't understand what I just said if you don't really hoop.
We both got to – we should create a video where we create that. whatever a Hezzy pull up Jimbo is.
Well, actually, I had forgotten about this until I looked up the tweet in order to make that joke. But I had replied to Durant with the video of you doing the Euro stumble, cool. And that actually racked up 125 likes. People enjoyed that one.
Oh, great! I'm known for two things: terrible jokes. Well, three things.
Horrific jokes.
Yeah, terrible jokes. Jerry West hatred. And the Euro stumble. I'm cool with that. I'm saying.
And the very Hezzy pull up, fall down Dumbo.
Gumbo, because I'm fat.
I wasn't going to fat shame you, but that's okay.
I'm cool with it. I'm cool. I like my body. Anywho, speaking. We just lost Harrison. Harrison went off. Harrison.
I actually like almost fell out of my chair. Oh man.
We're gonna wrap up the show again. This is a little bit shorter of a show, unless you had anything else to add to the Kevin Durant stuff.
No, I think that it's great that he's learning from both guys. I guess we got two more things to hit. So yeah. Number one, who would you most want to see Lonzo learn from if you could pick any player in NBA history?
Marcelo freaking Huertas.
Oh, Lakers let him go. Made another mistake. Hopefully they don't give Lonzo his locker. That'd be too much pressure.
Way too much pressure. It would be great if Lonzo at some point recreates that shot that Lonzo tried to fire up backwards.
Or the squirrel steal from behind the coach.
Yep. Oh man, I've never heard Stu Lance so happy in my life.
That was amazing.
Who would you want to have him learn from? And I'll give an honest answer here in a second.
Well, honestly, like one of the answers is in house. He might be learning from him is Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Like everybody always talks about, like, oh, Brandon Ingram's got to work out with Kobe. Da da da. Like, you know, maybe that'll happen. Maybe it won't. But like the one that like people should also be talking about is Magic and Lonzo. And I think Magic will probably be very cautious to not make Luke feel like he's overstepping his bounds and like he's treading into coaching waters. But Luke's a pretty affable guy. Like, I can't really see him having a problem with Lonzo and Magic doing a little bit of workouts and Magic giving him some extra feedback, because why would you not want your promising rookie point guard getting feedback from honestly the greatest point guard in NBA history?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, Magic is up there for sure. I think I'd really like to see him work, like, out of current players. I'd be interested to see him like work with Steph a little bit. I feel like there's something to be learned in terms of, like, you know, getting your shot off from like really deep and getting it off quickly would be like a good skill for him to attain. And like, I don't think Lonzo is going to be Steph Curry, but that's a guy that I'd be interested to see him work out with. And then, yeah, sorry. Sorry, not sorry. And then, yeah, I mean, I think those might be the two for me. I don't know. I don't know if those are boring answers.
Those are good ones. I would agree on both of those. So if I had all of NBA history to pick somebody from, I would probably pick Jason Kidd, because he was a bigger. Again, I you have to pick an oversized point guard here, in my opinion. You know, a Magic, a Jason Kidd, you know, Ron Harper, whatever it would be. You have to pick somebody who's
like a steep drop off on the last one. All due respect to Ron Harper.
Ron Harper was legit.
All due respect to Ron Harper, but like you said, Magic, Jason Kidd, and then Ron Harper. I'm sorry, there aren't a whole lot of guys that look good as that third guy.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Mark Jackson.
You'd want to have him learn from Kobe, Kevin Durant, or, you know, like Jabari Brown.
Oh man, I can't believe the dish. Ron Harper was really freaking good.
I'm going to have so many like middle-aged people mad at me tomorrow. Like this happened when I said Paul George was better than Reggie Miller, and like I had so many, like, apparently some Indiana radio host got like mad at me on the air.
What?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. I was getting like tweets about it, but
that's phenomenal.
They're saying it was really but whatever. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. This has been a very disjointed show. I can you tell I've been gone a week?
I want to find this radio host and have him on and debate Reggie Miller and Paul George.
Yeah, we should just bring him on and just have him yell at me. That'd be great radio.
But yeah, I would say Jason Kidd. So Length, like I talked about earlier. Kidd also, he was a pretty good athlete, but he's no Russell Westbrook or anything. But again, he understands how to utilize what I do now.
I don't know. Like, that you felt the need to add the qualifier, Jason Kidd is no Russell Westbrook. Like, I don't know if that was necessary.
I would say Kidd's understanding of angles, not just on offense, but on defense, you know, to rack up the, I think he's the NBA's all-time leader in steals, if I have that correct. Kidd also,
I have no idea off the top of my head.
Kidd also wasn't a very good shooter when he came into the league. He used to, you know, get called Ace and Kidd because he didn't have a J in his shot. That was an actual thing for a while. But he wound up becoming a...
I'm sure some columnist was really proud of coming up with that.
It was that same radio host in Indiana. But he became, I believe, a over 40% three-point shooter by the end of his career.
Yeah, no, he was lethal. Like, the Lakers got it, look at it firsthand, but in 2011.
Yeah, so...
Fair warning.
I would say he would be great to learn from. And then in terms of current players... Let's go with Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul would be the guy I'd like him to learn from. Again, because, look, the Lakers can't have Lonzo be terrible defensively. He needs to be decent defensively. And Chris Paul, you know, say what you will about his on-court antics and all of that stuff, but he is one of the best defenders in the game and has been for a little bit. And doing so at his size is pretty great. It is pretty insane what he's been able to do. And if he was able to learn from that, from Chris Paul, and also understand how to utilize the mid-range game coming off of the pick and roll, that would also be great for him to learn from CP3.
Absolutely. So
those are the two guys. Anybody else? Unless you want to throw more shade at Ron Harper.
No, I mean, I said all due respect to Ron Harper. It's just not a lot of guys compare favorably to Magic Johnson and Jason Kidd.
I think Ron Harper has like 4 or 5 rings. He had a really good career. Him. He had a really good career. He was a vital part of that.
Vucevic has too, man.
He was a vital part of that really good. I think it was
I
on
don't
a 72
win. Ron Harper was fine. I'm just saying that is a very steep drop off. I don't feel like that's that much of an insult. Like, I'm sorry, Ron Harper.
And the Clippers ruined him, to be honest, as they would everybody. But
Clippers ruined everything.
Yeah, he got hurt. I think when he got traded to the Clippers and then got hurt. And was never quite the same.
The Clippers are the NBA embodiment of the little B curse.
Great segue. It's a great opportunity now.
That was intentional.
To give us your play-by-play in your your quest to make sure the Lakers do not get cursed by a little B. And by the way, so I learned two things while all this was going on. One, I learned what a little B is. And two, I found out he follows me on Twitter.
Lil B, the based god, is very much a member of hashtag team follow back
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I don't follow him, but sure.
Yeah. Well, he wants you to follow him back.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow everybody, then like 50% of them will follow you back just out of pity.
Yeah.
You know?
It's worked for a surprising number of people on Twitter.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, Lil B, he was threatening to curse Lonzo over the whole, like, Lonzo saying that nobody really listens to Nas anymore, which, like, oh, shocking news, a 19-year-old doesn't listen to the music that you used to listen to. Wow, what a breaking headline that we should definitely trash him over, because I'm sure you listen to the same stuff as, like, 30-year-olds when you were 19.
Yeah, like, just picture like, Kobe saying nobody listens to Frank Sinatra anymore. Imagine people getting angry about that.
There would have been so much dog whistle racism. but anyway, so Lonzo said that, and then he somehow got into like a feud with Nas's manager on Twitter where he like called him an oatmeal face, which was hilarious.
Oh my God.
And then Lil B was like threatening to curse Lonzo, I guess, like on, because maybe he wanted like an actually good rapper to respect him or something. And he was like, hey, I'm on Team Nas on this one.
Have you ever heard Lil B's music? I never have.
I heard one of his songs where he was like singing about like how much he hated Kevin Durant. I think it was not good. but
interesting. He'll
Like his thing, for those of you that don't know, Lil B is a rapper ostensibly, I guess. Like, I guess he's made, like, he is a Twitter account that has made rap songs and mm-hmm. is verified. I don't know that I'd call him, like, a good rapper. But he also calls himself the Bass God, and he signs all of his tweets with a dash Lil B, because that way you know he hasn't been hacked, because he's signing it. That yeah. signature, uncopyable.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, so Lil B was, like, threatening to curse Lonzo on Twitter, and then I wrote about it, and then, like, all of a sudden, like it kind of blew up. I wasn't the only one to write about it, but it kind of blew up. Mike Bresnahan of Spectrum Sportsnet asked Lonzo about it. Lonzo said he wasn't worried about it. And then Lil B, and I added Lil B in the post that I put up about this, and he responded, respect to Big Baller Brand. And then shortly after, he said, Big Baller Brand is family. We all have opinions. Lonzo Ball was not wrong what he said. Please just respect hip hop. Thank you. Love you, Lil B. And so, yeah, now I'm just reading tweets on the air. But anyway.
I wish he would have put, like, the Obama mic drop thing at the end of it. Like,
yeah. Well, anyway, so I was already, like, I was already arguing that I had saved Lonzo and that I was a hero and that, you know, all Lakers fans, I'm not saying that you have to worship me, but you got to pay your respect, put some respect on my name. And so I was arguing that on Twitter, and all of a sudden Lil B responded and said, great reporting, signed Lil B. So I actually got the first ever Lil B Excellence in Journalism Award. And is what I'm calling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I printed out that tweet and I hung it on my office cubicle. I'm not kidding. It's actually up there. My coworkers were very impressed.
Picture doesn't happen. If you don't take a picture and put it on Twitter, it didn't happen.
Take a picture and put it on Twitter.
No, of your cubicle. Did you put that up?
Oh, I did.
Oh my God, of course you did.
Yeah, it's up there. So then, like, what was the funniest part of all of this was that there is absolutely zero chance that Lil B read this thing if he's calling it great reporting, because I trashed him. I called him almost Z-list rapper, and I said the ball shouldn't be any more worried about him than a black cat crossing his path while he steps under a ladder as he spills salt shakers all over a floor of broken mirrors. And basically, I don't really believe in superstition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to get Lil B to curse me, because I feel like there's nothing he can read. Like, I just want to prove once and for all that this guy is just a lunatic, and I don't understand why we write about him. But it was kind of a fun thing on Twitter. And so if you do believe in curses, like the guy that was tweeting at me, stop trying to get Lonzo Ball cursed. You're going to ruin the Lakers when I was writing about this. You're welcome.
All right, a lot to take apart here.
That was very freeform.
My first question, and really the only question that matters: what would you like in return for making sure that the Lakers are not cursed? My second question is: what are you willing to put on the line if Lil B does curse us and our show downloads go, like, fall through the floor? Because that would be you.
Well, yeah, so that would be a big oopsie on my part if that were to happen. I think, as far as what I'd like, you know, if somebody wanted to send me a pair of Zo2s, I wouldn't say no.
What size shoe are you?
I'm a 13. Let's see if we have any crazy big baller fans out there. I'm a size 13, just so you know.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, as far as what I'm willing to put on the line, I mean, that would drastically affect my income, so I feel like I'm putting my income on line. I'm betting it all on Lil B having no superpowers, which I feel like is a safe bet to make.
Didn't he curse James Harden, or was it Kevin Durant?
He cursed both. So the Kevin Durant one didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, whoops. And
I believe if I have this right, because I'm kind of going through the timeline that I've ever paid attention to this dude, but he cursed
Anthony has, like, a dartboard on his wall where he, like, has all these strings lined up from Lil B tweets.
Didn't he curse Kevin Durant, and then when Kevin Durant won, he said the curse was lifted? Is that how that played out?
That's how it works. He just forgot to send the tweet before. He also threatened to curse D'Angelo Russell last year, and D'Angelo Russell like tweeted a poop emoji at him or something. No, he held one up on SportsCenter when they asked him what he thought about Lil B's curse. And then Lil B like uncursed him. But he still can't spell D'Angelo Russell.
Well, anybody who actually curses people and thinks that cursing is a thing in 2017, I would be shocked if he spelled anything correctly, to be completely honest.
Fair point.
All right. Well, thank you, Harrison, for your efforts in making sure that the Lakers are not cursed, that Lonzo Ball is not cursed. That would have sucked.
Just saying, you know, I'm not saying you have to do anything for me, but, you know, Venmo account's open. I'm a size 13, Zotus.
Of all the things to ask for, that's Zotus.
You're welcome, America.
What you ask for. All right.
I mean, I'm just not going to be able to ever afford them on my own. So, you know, just reaching out to Locked On Lakers Nation.
Yep. Small baller brand is Harrison.
Yeah, well, I actually have the medium-sized baller brand shirt. So
it's a good shirt. It's a really good shirt. All right, that does it, though.
That was a very disjointed show. For those of you that get angry at us for not always staying on topic, sorry.
Not sorry.
Yeah, I'm not really that sorry. That was fun.
We're recording at 12:20 on a Monday, on a Sunday/Monday morning. So. All right. Have
more heroism for me.
Have a good day, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be back at it again on Friday. As always, you can find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Use those promo codes, and we will be back at it, hopefully with more to talk about than whatever a little B is on Friday. We'll be back at it. Maybe I'll try to get a guest. Let's try to get a guest.
Wow. So you just threw me off the pod at the end. Maybe I'll try and get a guest. Like, all right. Yeah. Thanks, man. Well, I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me back.
Last time we had a guest, you didn't let me on the show. You recorded behind my back.
Yeah. I'm not doing that again.
I started getting ats in that show, or after that show aired, I started getting ats, people saying that they knew exactly which questions to Pincus were from me.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I mean, we worked on the questions together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. We may have a big guest coming at some point soon. I'm not going to overplay our hand, but we're working on somebody like that would be pretty big.
Yeah, it'd be fun. All right. So have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again on Friday. Football is back. My Vikings play my wife's Saints. So everybody pray for the Irwin household. It's probably not going to end well.
Maybe get Lil B to curse your wife. Let's try it.
Yeah, that'd go well.
Get her Twitter login.
Jen, I'm sorry, but some rapper named Lil B.
We're going to get Lil B to curse Dr. Jen.
Have a good one, everybody.